are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Is prayer your last resort, or is it your first response? Oh my goodness, that's something I've had to ask myself the last few days in preparing for this broadcast, and I'm not so sure that I always have the right answer. Oswald Chambers, best known for his utmost for his highest, writing says, we tend to use prayer as the last resort, but God wants prayer to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Welcome, friends. Welcome to Coffee with Kim. My name is Kim Crable, and I'm so delighted that you're here today because we have an incredible show lined up that has the potential of changing all of our lives. Because today we're going to talk about prayer, and today we have someone who knows about prayer. Joining us from Texas, we have Sharon Hill. Sharon lives what she calls, and I love this, a blessed life in Texas. She has 4 grown children and several grandchildren. Sharon is the author of On Call Prayer Journal, The Prayer of 3, How a Protective Shield of Intentional Prayer Can Transform Your Life. Don't we all want that? To know that there's somewhere, some way we can go to have our life transformed, especially when we are in those really hard times and seasons of life. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest right now, and she can talk to you more about who she is and what she believes in. So from Texas, I'm so delighted. Sharon, welcome to Coffee with Kim. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it is my honor. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kim.
Well, I'm so delighted to have you. I want to tell our friends who are listening, who are joining us, that we are also friends. We are, you can explain, Sharon, how do we get to know each other?
Well, along with my own ministry, On Call Prayer, I am also the Senior Executive Vice President of Christian Women in Media, and that is how I met Kim. Women who are making an impact on our culture through all forms of media, and that's how we met, you and me. So, and we serve on the advisory board for this great organization. It's actually a global outreach. Thank you.
It is, and we just enjoy so much having our time together. And, you know, as all the women on the executive board are so busy, so we had a retreat not too long ago where the directors came in, and what an awesome experience it was for me because I got to know you, Sharon, even more, and your heart, which led us to this show, your deep desire and commitment to prayer. And, you know, let's just start right there and let's share with people what is prayer? What is that we're talking about?
Well, you know, prayer is just conversation with God. And, you know, I always ask myself and anyone that I come in contact, any audience, I always say, on a scale 1 to 10, how would you grade, this is a sobering question, how is your prayer life on a scale 1 to 10? Do you pray only on the run or when you're in crisis? Do you feel like you don't pray because you don't pray like your pastor or your friend? And does God hear your prayers? And does he even answer them? You know, Kim, I did a study. I was looking at a Barna survey, and it said that 66% of Christians are classified as casual Christians. And in this day and time, I'm going to tell you, if we're not on our knees in intentional prayer from God, sometimes we don't make it. We don't make it well. And I also read that 90% of the Christians only pray about once a week when they go to church. So I have discovered that we serve an on-time God. Now, he's never a second early, but he has everything under control. And without prayer, I just, you know, he says, and this is my scripture for my ministry. He's on call prayer. He says, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So spending time with God has changed my life. And that is what I want to give hope to people. You know, I say this, wake up, Christian, there's a war going on. And so I just want to speak into the lives of people through my books, through anyone I meet or speak to from a platform. You know, it's been said you can live 40 days without food, water, 8 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. And we turn on the news every day, and we hear how people have taken their lives, or their families have been devastated because they lost the hope. And that is why prayer is so important, that that we take that time. You know, there's only one thing impossible with God, and it's impossible to believe him in vain. So Psalm 109:4 says, I will give myself to prayer. So I say to everyone listening, just fall on your knees and grow there.
I love that. Sharon, there's a little interference going on. I don't know if maybe you have your computer on or something. I don't know what it is. It may be. There's so many storms in the area right now. There could be something like that. But anyway, I don't want anything to interfere with this meat that you're giving us on prayer. I think of when you talk about those are sobering thoughts about the frequency of or infrequency of prayer among believers, because we know 1 Thessalonians 5:17 compels us to pray without ceasing. And I don't know about you, but I find myself needing to pray hourly, and sometimes, you know, by the minute. So let's stop right there. And listeners, I want you to be grabbing your pens and pencils, because in a little bit, shortly, Sharon's going to begin sharing with us her 5 steps to intentional prayer. And Sharon, let me tell you what, I have my pencils and my notebooks out here. I got my Bible open. I'm so excited about this, because God is really, I will tell you, I lead a ministry. I'm in ministry. I'm in my Bible all the time. But I will tell you, one of the things that we can overlook most is prayer. And prayer should be the foundation of everything. So I am really excited about what you have to say and to hear this, because that's really where God is bringing me back, is, just that solid. I read somewhere the other day, it says, I have so much to do, I'm going to spend the first half of my day in prayer. And I thought that, I love that, because, how many of us really think to do that? So tell our listeners, what does that mean, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does that mean, pray without ceasing? How does one do that?
Well, it is just a state of mind, As I like to do stats, and I also have learned that the average Christian prays about 6 or 7 minutes a day only, not without ceasing. And, it is just talking, I call them breath prayers, just all through the day, just saying, Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I just honor you today. I praise your name. Just little breath prayers throughout the day. And you mentioned a quote from Oswald Chambers. I tell you, Spurgeon said something great. He said, "We must pray to pray and continue in prayer that our prayers may continue." So that is prayer without – that is – praying without ceasing. Isn't that true? And so, Jesus was the perfect example. I mean, there wasn't anybody any busier than Jesus. And, you know, but yet it says in Mark that he, in the morning, early in the morning, while it's still dark, he got up and left his house and went out to a solitary place and he prayed. You know, I have a place that on my patio that is my sanctuary. I think we need to have a place where we get alone, just God and ourselves. And I have a fountain. I have music, soft music, candles, I have cushions. I have a place that I retreat to that is I cannot wait to get out there. Because, and then in the cold weather, I just find I have a special chair in my house. But you know, it could be someone in the, it could be a park bench in a park somewhere. It could be somewhere where we get alone with God. We set up this place intentionally to hear from the Father. And so, and then, you know, Jesus also, it said that he, even in the evening, he would go get, you know, go to the mountain and pray, you know, and he would, then he would withdraw, he withdrew from the crowds, it says in Luke 5:16, to a lonely place and pray. That's the model. He is our role model. And so I try to remember not to ever look into the face of another human being until I first looked into the face of God. And I don't know how I could get through. And everyone listening today has a story. Something has happened in all of our lives that could be devastating.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, Sharon. I want to ask you, why is this prayer? Because I hear the passion. I hear how much you believe in it. Could you share with our listeners? And I do want to remind our listeners, we are taking calls today. If you would like to call in and ask our prayer expertise and our prayer warrior question, let me just give this to you. The number is 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you'll go into a virtual green room, and our executive director will speak to you. 347-324-5246. Press 1 to jump in. Sharon, can you take just a few minutes? You know, a lot of times when I'm listening to speakers and they're as intense as you are, it almost makes me want to know, why do they believe in it this much? Obviously, it has worked out in your life at some point or the other. What would you share with us as a personal story of why prayer means so much to you?
Okay. Well, I had shared a little bit with Kim, a little bit of my background, and as I said, everyone has a story. But I had married very young as a teenage bride, and I had come from a dysfunctional home. My father was an alcoholic, and so all I wanted to do was have my own home, my own family, have babies. And this is the truth. I just wanted to have babies, bake bread, and make curtains. And have a Christian home. And so that was my goal in life. So I actually married at the age of 18, started having babies at 19. And so, I had a tragedy happen. And my husband we had 3 children at that time, and he became unfaithful. And so I had biblical grounds. All that ended in divorce. I was devastated. I did in those days, way back then, people just stayed married. I mean, the word divorcee was kind of like you had a mark on your head or something. It was a bad word. And I was embarrassed to be in a divorcee and supposed to, in fact, my husband and I, we were youth pastors of a huge church, 200 kids and all of this, and all this other was going on, and I was so embarrassed. I did not even tell my own mother. I was so embarrassed. But it came to a point where that marriage had to end, and of course I met with my pastor, with counselors, everything, but I had biblical grounds, but I didn't want to be divorcee. I wanted to have babies. Bake bread and make curtains and build a Christian home. So that is how that ended. Well, I was single a year, got married to a man that I thought was a Christian, and we had a fourth child. It was a Cinderella story. It was a wonderful life, but then he started drinking in his business profession. He owned his own business. Long story short, he became an abusive alcoholic. So here I am again, and I don't want to be a divorcee. And so but I had no choice, just to save our lives, literally. I had to get out of that marriage. Well, some of my children, because of pain, and you know, everyone handles tragedy and pain in a different way. They may be an overeater. They may go into depression. They may withdraw. They may turn to become addictive to different things, prescription medications, drugs, alcohol. Everyone deals with pain in their life in a different way. And this was leading up to why I had to become serious in the area of prayer so that I could hear from God. And so that marriage ended in divorce. And so, but as a consequence, some of my children ran from God. And you know, everyone has a prodigal in their life, someone that is running from God. And so I ended up with a happy story in that I became very successful in my profession. And I had an organization, had 3,000 women in my I traveled nationally. I did a presentation on Capitol Hill. I was on radio, television. I mean, I was successful as a businesswoman, but I was single, and then I met a man, and we were married, and now we've been married 32 years, and it's just such a God story. But let me tell you that I have permission to share with you one of my children's stories, and his name is Michael. And I would like to tell you about the five steps. Now, Michael, the other children came along. They got help, and different ones had different issues going on because they were running from God. But praise God, they're doing great today. But Michael is Michael has really struggled with alcoholism all his life. And the reason is that because he kept looking in the rearview mirror. Maybe we have people today that keep looking at their past. They can't move forward because they keep reliving all the pain. And that's what Michael has done through all his life, just about. And so he has been in and out of jail, in and out of prison. He's never done a violent thing. He is the most loving, giving person that you would ever meet. But he would drink alcohol to cover up his pain. So as a matter of fact, at one point in his life, he became homeless. And of all the things that had happened to me, that devastated me. Lived in Houston. I live in Dallas-Fort Worth area, so it's about 5 hours away. And it was one of the years where we had a horrible, horrible freeze. I mean, the wind chill factor was just 0 or 12 or 10. It was horrible. And I knew that he was out homeless, outside, sleeping under a bush in that freezing weather. And I would be in my bed with 9 pillows, comforters, all the things staying warm. And my son, my adult son, was homeless. And I broke apart. I could hardly stand it. And you know, as a person with someone with addictions, there is a fine line between enabling and supporting. Now, what do you do? What do you not do? That's where I was. And so I did pay for a cell phone for him because if he was on the road somewhere, I wanted him somebody to call 911. So I paid $30 a month or whatever for his cell phone. But an occasion would send him a few dollars, but I couldn't keep financing his addiction. And so it was horrible. And that's the day that I heard from God. And he said, Sharon, you've been praying for 30 years for your son to quit drinking alcohol. That's good to pray that way, but that is not how I want you to pray. And he gave me 5 steps. I didn't hear it, read it in a book. I didn't hear it from a pastor. I heard it from the Holy Spirit. And these are the 5 ways to pray for the prodigal in your life, someone that is running from God. And the first
Sharon, what we're going to do, because I don't want to interrupt this, you have set this up perfectly, because I will tell you, to each of our listeners, someone has someone in their family that's touched one of the things that you've talked about. This is for listeners. I want you, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a 30-second break before we get into these 5 principles. And then I'm going to give everyone time to grab a pen and a piece of paper, because we're all going to want to write these down, because you're right. We all have a story. We all have a prodigal. And we may even be that prodigal today. So we're going to take a 30-second break, listeners. And when we come back, Sharon, you already can hear her expertise. You hear the power and the passion in her voice. When we come back, we're going to dedicate the last 30 minutes of this show on these 5 principles. So know that if you'd like to call in and ask a question, we will take those calls. Otherwise, we're going to scoot through these 5 principles. So, Sharon, let's hold on for 30 seconds, and we'll be back, and we'll be ready to go through these 5 steps. See you in 30 seconds.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
So Sharon, let's go ahead and get started. What is step one?
Okay.
Yes.
Now, step number one is that the scales will fall off their eyes.
So we pray that the scales, okay, and explain that to someone who,
Okay, that is found from Acts 9:18. We are to pray that the scales will fall off their eyes. Now, I'm not praying for the alcohol. I'm praying that the scales will fall off their eyes. And then the scriptures say instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. So just like that day when the scales fell off Saul, who became Apostle Paul, that's how we should pray first, is that the scales will fall off their eyes. That's number one.
Explain, like, if I've never been in a church, what would that mean? Are we praying that they don't believe the lies? What does that mean to someone who's not in church? What would that mean? Would that be lies that they're believing?
That could be lies. That could be excuses. That could be blaming. Yeah. That could be everything that people do to continue in their walk which is ungodly. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. And so they would just have clarity, that they would just let down all excuses, all blame.
So scales meaning anything that needs to fall off away from them so that they can actually see the Lord, see truth. Okay,
yes.
Great. Got it.
Yes.
Great.
It's honest. I think it's what it would be is that they would get honest about it. The
there
dishonesty
you go.
Would dissipate.
Perfect. Gotcha. All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then number two, are we ready for number two?
We are, yes.
Okay. Number two would be total, capitalized, total, surrender.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
And the scriptures say in Joshua 22:5, and it says, but be very careful to keep the commandment, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. So this means totally surrender. Surrender your heart, your mind, your willpower, everything. Just fall and surrender totally.
Mm-hmm.
So number two. Now, people sometimes think they surrender, but they don't totally give it all.
Mm-hmm.
So this is total surrender.
And I guess that really comes in steps, doesn't it? Because like I may think I'm totally surrendering today and maybe God will show me tomorrow that there's something else for me to lay down or something. So as much as I know today to just really pray that prayer that I will totally surrender. And, you know, and listeners, remember, this is Sharon. Sharon's given us five ways that we pray for those who are prodigals, those who are running from God, or even for ourselves when we feel like we're running from God. So this is great. So we don't pray, like you were talking, we don't pray that they quit drinking or they quit this or they quit that. We pray, one, that the scales will fall off their eyes, two, that they will totally surrender themselves to the Lord. These are good prayers for our children, even adult children, because one of the things that you say here, and I love Sharon, a mother holds her children's hands for a while, but their hearts for a lifetime. And that's true. And many of us who have adult children, we're still praying. And I'm very fortunate that my boys have come back and know the Lord. But there are periods of times when these prayers were so needed. So this is great. So let's go to number three, Sharon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, number three is that God would remove their heart of stone and give them a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they have many times, and we all do this, we harden our hearts sometimes. Now, the scripture is Ezekiel 36:26. And it says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. So I know that we have seen what life has done to some people that are running from God. They become hardened, bitter, blame everyone. They are dishonest. They've done everything to cover up what's going on inside of them. And so just pray that remove the heart of stone and God to give them a new heart. Only God can do that. But you see, that follows surrendering. You have to surrender. To surrender first, and then that stony heart will be, be given a beautiful new heart.
And I just believe that even to our listeners today that are listening, I believe that this even speaks to each and every one of us because, you know, you can be in the church, you can be leading the ministry, you can be, you know, doing it, but all of us have that potential to have our hearts hardened, don't we? We can get our feelings hurt. We can be trying so much. I think of Elijah that went running out into the wood, into the mountains after Jezebel said the words to him in the middle of the ministry, and it just kind of hardened his heart, and he went running out and saying, "I'm the last one. God, just take my life." Sometimes in ministry we can harden our hearts a little bit just because of, trying to be self-protective. So for those who are listening, we have men and women who are listening right now and some teens. This is a good prayer. Sharon, I don't know, for some reason I feel like we need to stop on this. And what would you say, how do we check our hearts? How do I know that as a believer – I haven't let my heart turn into, I love that word, not really, I'm being stony and stubborn. Can we just stop right there and talk about that to strong believers and leaders today? How do we evaluate where we are and come back and really use this in our heart, in our life?
Well, first of all, I believe that we need to get out of denial. And we can make excuses, we can justify things, but that could be denial. And one of the things that I have written my way to healing, and that is why I believe in journaling so strongly. And I've published a journal both for adults and children, because I think when you write things down on paper, and you go back and you read what you wrote. And in my Beyond Call Prayer Journal, I have every few many pages, it's called Red Reflections. And the journal comes with a red pen, but anybody can do it with any kind of journal. But listen, what did you write last week or last month? And you go back and read what you wrote. And when you see how God's working or how he answered that prayer, you can write with red ink. And that gives hope, because you see him moving in your life through prayer. And so I just believe sometimes to reflect, to answer your question, just to look down and reflect and see, when you write things, psychologists say this: when we write our thoughts, our hopes, our fears, our hurts, our pains on paper, it takes it from your subconscious, moves it to your conscience, gets it down on paper so you can go on with living and moving forward. So that has helped me in my healing process.
And I'm so glad you brought out journaling. That's one of the things that we do when I take people through the burdens of blessings, a transformational healing journey, is that just writing it. And sometimes, Sharon, as you have been, we did a little bit of this at the leadership retreat, you can take your hurts and you can take those things and you can write them out on paper. And even if you don't read them, if you let someone else read it for you, it is a way to kind of regurgitate all that pain to where it gets out into the open and where God can really work on it. And you can see how other people react to it. And truth begins to rest on those places. So thank you so much for bringing up that journaling. That's how my healing began, and that's how my healing continues, is writing and journaling every day.
And, Kim, if I could just insert one other little thought and thing that I have done. I have a God box. Now, I know different people have talked about God boxes through the years, but this is different. This is what I have done. When I have a hard time letting go and letting God, people will, I'll give it to God, then I'll take it back 30 seconds later and start worrying again. And it's just back and forth, right? So, people say, just give it to God and let it go. Well, that's easier said than done sometimes, especially when you are hurting and your spirit has been crushed. So what I do is I take a little piece of paper and I write God a short little letter. Dear God, I admit my hopelessness and helplessness over this situation, and I write it down. And I'm going to give it to you now. I'm going to let it go. And I love you, Sharon. And I put today's date, exact time, and then I fold it up and I put it in my God box. Now, I have let it go. It is his problem. I am not going to worry anymore. I get in my car, drive down the street. I start worrying again. I start praying. I start crying. And I haven't let him. I've taken it back. I didn't leave it with him. I'm worrying again. I'm praying again. I come home.
Yeah.
Open up that God box. I take that letter out. Lord, I'm sorry. I did not leave it with you. I cross out the date and time. Now this time I am going to leave it with you. I put a new date and a new time, and I fold it back up, and I put it back in my God box. Now sometimes it goes in and out 12 times, 20 times, whatever, until I finally let it go. And do you know, I get out of the way, and the Holy Spirit moves in, and he works in his timetable. And, you know, there is, I just want to insert this, there is a set time. You know, in Genesis, I don't know if we remember this, but, you know, God told Abraham he was going to multiply the earth. Do you know how long it was before Sarah got pregnant? It was 30 years. 30 years. And you know, and I love what the scripture says in the King James Version. It says that it was at the set time. That's words.
Yes.
Set time. In Genesis 17:21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time. And so she did not have that baby, Isaac, 1 minute too early. She had it at God's timing. And that speaks to me of just letting it go and giving it to God. And that has helped me just trust God unconditionally.
Well, you know what, Sharon, that goes with, I love everything you said, the practicality of that God box. Journaling and the God box, you know, I've heard about, like you said, I've heard about the God boxes throughout the years, but I've never heard it the way you explained it, and I am going to get a God box. I'm going to get one personally. I'm going to get one for my ministry, for everything, because I love that you go back and you repent of picking up the worry, and that you redate it. It's a recommitment, and it goes along with the rest of that Oswald Chambers quote that I began with, the last part of that quote, and I wasn't sure if I was going to use this, but boy, does it hit exactly what you're saying. This is what he says. Most of us, when talking about prayer not being our first line of defense, but rather our last resort, he goes on to say, most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will try to get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in his good time, because his idea of good time is seldom in sync with our thinking of good time. Isn't that the truth?
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So I love that. And thank you so much for stopping and explaining the God box to us. And listeners, I hope that you'll join me in doing this, because that is a great practical idea. So let's go on to the next step.
And that was number four. I think we're on number four, aren't we?
Yes,
we are. Okay, number four
let me just review this. We have number one, and make sure this is right, that we pray that the scales fall off their eyes. Number two, we pray that for total surrender. Number three, we pray that God will remove a heart of stone and give a new heart. And now number four.
Yes, thank you. Yes, okay, and that we will your prodigal will have a hunger for God's presence, both them and me. And so that comes from Deuteronomy 4:29, and it says, "From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and soul." Seek God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart. That's what I pray, that my prodigal will have that kind of hunger, and that I will too. It's both of us.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 4:29.
Wow, that's really That's such a huge sentence right there. Tell me, how do you do that, Sharon? How do you personally seek God in troubled situations? I mean, I know you're giving me all this, but what does that look like? Because I know that we have people out there who are saying, "But I'm seeking Him. Am I really doing the right thing?" What would be your guidance to them today in continuing to seek God? And because we have some deep hurts in our listeners' hearts today, deep hurts.
Yes. Well, you know, it all goes back to, for me, again, in journaling, because I can see, you know, on paper where I am with this. But, you know, Bible study, involved in a church, involved in a small group, a mentor, someone that that just loves you, you know, when you're up, when you're down. I mean, all of this, God uses people to speak into my life. And so, but, you know, I've got to be in His Word. There's a wonderful books, we're all authors, but there's nothing like the Bible as the greatest book in the whole world, and how God will just those words just fly off the page. When I seek Him totally with all my heart. And so being careful what I watch on television, movies, what I read, what am I putting into my computer, my internal computer, how's it going to come out? And so that's seeking God with all my heart, searching and finding Him. It's a promise.
Yes, and I just love just the practical application you gave there, because we forget sometimes, don't you? I find with talking with people that sometimes we try to over-spiritualize God, and we don't understand that just having a good friend who accepts us to talk to is one of the greatest gifts that we can do and find in ourselves. That just having a good church to go to be able to go and sit and listen to your pastor or priest or whatever, that's important. And sometimes we overlook the basics, such as prayer, why I wanted to do the show, to really be in sync with God, His timing, to be able to trust Him again, and for us to walk closely with Him and seek Him. Because really, when you think about it, what you said, we're authors, but what's most important, and I read that when you open the Bible is the only book that every time you open it, the author shows up with you. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
And He is there, and His Word is, according to Hebrews 4:12, His Word is living, and it is active, and it does go to work to soften our hearts and to help us seek Him. So I just wanted to stop right there for a minute, because I felt like that was so important, these principles. All right. Well, Ms. Sharon, we're ready for step five.
Okay. And listen, just a little P.S. on step four. You know, we're seeking God with all our heart, but in attending church and in Bible study and so forth. But we also need to be careful not to connect too tightly with people that continually pull us down. And we do have the power to say, you know, I'm just going to hang up the phone now, you know, because you're really not empowering me or encouraging me. Yeah. I love you, but right now I just can't talk with you. We have that. We don't need to let people beat us up. And so that is something that we have control over. Okay, step number five.
Wait a minute. I just have to stop right there, because that's huge. That is so huge, because so many times we think that we must stay and listen to that. There was another quote I read one time. It says, I don't have to accept every invitation to every drama party I'm invited to, or something like that. And
exactly.
That's what you're saying. And I think it's so important for our listeners to hear that it's okay, as believers, you're still a good person, to be able to say, I don't want to participate in this anymore. This is not building me up. This is not feeding my soul. So thank you so much. And listeners, I hope that you heard that. It is okay to turn away from the negative or anything that's trying to drag you down this morning. That is so important. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for that PS. That was a good one.
Amen. Amen. Okay, and that brings us, oh, this is the most wonderful one, that that prodigal will become a mighty man or a mighty woman of God.
Oh.
And I have two scriptures for that.
Okay.
Zechariah 10:7, and it says, those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. So you can put your name in there. Those of Kim, those of Sharon,
yes,
shall be like a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, and their heart shall rejoice. And then the second scripture is Psalm 112:1-2. His or her descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. They will become a mighty man. You speak it forward. You speak it in advance. You speak it daily. Now let me tell you about my son, Michael. At the present time, now through the years, he has called me and has been in terrible shape, you know, drunk or whatever, okay? And not one time I have not missed this in all these years. I tell him I love him and that he is going to be a mighty man of God. I have said that in every letter I've written him, every time I've talked to him on the phone, that he is a mighty man of God. Now, there's been years he'd say, Mom, how can you say that? I'm such a mess. I said, because you are. You will become a mighty. You can run from anything, but you cannot run from the prayers of your mother. And you are a mighty man of God. So my personal prayer is this. Lord, you gave me your son, and now I give you mine. Michael is incarcerated right now. For he actually had not gotten a DWI in 15 years. In Texas, when you have three, he got one 20 years ago, and then he got one 15 years ago. And then 15 years went by, and he was involved in an accident, car accident. It was not his fault. It was a four-car collision caused by a big truck. He did not get a DWI. He did not get a ticket. He wasn't fined for anything. But he was sent to the emergency room like the other people because he had hit his face on the steering wheel. Well, apparently, they did a blood sample while he was in ER. And he did not, as I said, he wasn't charged with anything. 9 months later, he gets a knock on the door. He's arrested for a DW, and they said, there's a warrant out for your arrest. He said, I don't even have a ticket. He said, 9 months ago in that emergency room, you had blood, you had alcohol in your blood, and I am arresting you for a DWI. So he is in prison today because he had three DWIs. That becomes a felony in Texas. And do you know what? He is becoming one of the greatest mighty men of God I have ever spoken with. He has been an assistant to the chaplain. He is in God's word. He's in Bible study. And when he gets out, he already has a call, which will be any time now. And it'll all be over for him. He's just a matter of days or months. It's all over. He only got a 3-year sentence, and he's at the end of that. But God, you know what happened? God arrested him. God the Father arrested my son to save his life, put him back into a confined environment, into God's word again. He is so strong. And it's not one of these jailhouse things. You know, a lot of people go to, they get real religious in jail. This is different. It's so different that the chaplain wrote a letter to this parole board and said, this man is a man of integrity. That's my son.
Wow.
And so when he gets out, he has a call on his life. First, he has a business that he is a craftsman in construction and remodeling, and he is a perfectionist. Okay, and he's had this business for 30 years. He wants to teach young men his trade, which is almost a lost trade, because he often has to go into a job and fix everything that the prior repairman did wrong. So he wants to teach a trade to young men to keep them from ending up where he is. And then secondly, he wants to help widows and repair their homes because they may not be able to afford it. This is the call on his life. He will have Mighty Man Ministries because he is a mighty man of God.
Wow. And what hope, Sharon, that you have just given to those. See, here's the thing, is many times we think we know how God is going to work things out to create that mighty man or woman of God, but it was just the opposite of where Michael had to be to create that. And you've given a lot of people hope and maybe a new perspective of wherever they are, let them be there. Don't be praying to get them away, because that may be exactly where God has put them to build and to have a time out, a spiritual time out to really build them. Well, Sharon, can you believe our time is up? I cannot thank you enough for allowing us. We have a minute left before I go in and share a little bit about what's going on with the ministry. And in that last minute, would you please tell us one of the things that you talk about in forming your prayer shield and these principles, that you go back to this scripture of Ecclesiastes 4:12. Will you take about 30 or 40 seconds and explain what that scripture is and why that's important with our prayer?
Yes, thank you. Okay, there is a scripture in Ecclesiastes 4:12 that says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, let me tell you, this is what my ministry is all about, and that's how to form a prayer shield of three. Now, a prayer shield is not a prayer partner. Now, a prayer partner is important. Everybody needs a prayer partner. I pray for Kim, Kim prays for me. That's prayer partners. That's wonderful. It is not a prayer team. That is also a group of people that pray for general things. We all need that. But a prayer shield is taking prayer to a higher level. And you may not know that the number three is found in Scripture 467 times in the Bible. So I believe that a prayer shield is where God appoints three people to be your prayer covering. These must be men should have men, women should have women. They are people that know how to fight the warfare, know how to stand in the gap, intercessors, women of the word, confidential. You could tell them anything. They would not tell anyone but God about your situation. When God brings you these three people, mountains will move, prayers will be answered, you will be encouraged, and God will receive the glory.
Oh, Sharon, will you please tell our listeners how they can reach you? Because, and you know, can we just come back and do another show at some point where we just invite people to bring in their prayer shield and you just do an online training as to how to set this up and how to, because this is huge. I would love to do another show just on that.
I'd love that. Yes, please. Yes, absolutely. I can be reached at my website is oncallprayer.org. oncallprayer.org. My email is Sharon, Sharon Hill, Hill, at oncallprayer.org. So just go to either of that on my website on the homepage are the five ways to how to hold the rope for your loved one, how to pray. There's also about the prayer shield on there. Let me tell you, this level of prayer with a prayer shield is such a high calling and taking prayers to us, that there is a covenant that my prayer shield signs.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we're going to do that. Sharon, I can't even tell you how much I love you and admire you and the information you've given out. And let me tell you one little secret that I've gotten from this. Personally, all of it I have so much, but I love when step five about being a mighty man or woman of God, I'm going to begin praying that right now for my little Cohen, my granddaughter. So I'm putting that in writing, and that's going to become my daily prayer for her. And for anybody else out there, go ahead and start, right, Sharon? Go ahead and start praying that they become that mighty man or woman. Don't wait for them to get in trouble. Start praying it now, right?
And amen. Amen. Yes.
I'm going to do it. Okay, well, friends, I know that this hour has gone by so quickly. The good thing is that as you're listening to this in podcast, you can go back and listen to it over and over again. Sharon Hill from Texas, On Call Prayer Ministry, thank you so much. We're going to have her back. In the meantime, I would like to invite you, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, I invite you to join our website. Visit our website at kimcrable.org, kimcrable.org, for information about our ministry and ways to connect. Please join us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. We have daily devotionals on there. We'd love to have you join that global group of people who join us every morning. Please remember that we are on NRB TV. Watch our teaching series every Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. We are now showing the series. NRB is now showing the series, Burdens to Blessings, which leads me to let you know that we are in the midst of our Burdens to Blessings tour. Burdens to Blessings has now grown beyond just the women's ministry. We now have a teen ministry and also has opened up into a men's ministry. So it's amazing the things that are going on. And Sharon, this is all because of the power of prayer. So I thank you again so much for joining us. And friends, if you have any questions, please contact Sharon. Otherwise, we will see you right here next week once again for Coffee with Kim. Until then, be blessed, my friends. Love you, everybody. Bye, Sharon. Thank you again, friends.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.